WA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There's 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
Was there anybody at Sun above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There's 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFO we thought?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Same airplanes.
Howdy, dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, Bob, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Welcome to the show, everyone. We got a great show planned for you tonight. We'll be talking to Jordan, and Jordan comes to us from North Carolina. And he is going to be telling us about a very strange sighting he and his wife had traveling home late one night. And Jordan is also going to be sharing some paranormal encounters at his family's farmhouse. Some very strange things going on that property. Fascinating and creepy stories coming right up. Welcome to the show, Jordan.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your encounters with us today.
Absolutely. It's no problem. So to start off with my first story, I was never really a big believer in any kind of paranormal UFO activity. I kind of acknowledged that it existed, but I never 100% believed in anything until I actually witnessed a situation with my wife. One time we were driving from her college back to my house. It was about a 40-minute drive or so, and it was kind of late at night. It was starting to get dark outside, and I was driving the car. My wife was the passenger in the car. And as we were making a turn, we were just talking like normal, just the normal chit-chat between, at the time, boyfriend and girlfriend, just having, you know, a go. And all of a sudden, I look up into the sky to the left of the car, and I see this giant green orb. And I don't really know how to explain it. It's almost like it was a liquid, but made of light. It kind of rolled in the sky, and it was pretty big. I mean, I would say it had to have been at least 40 foot long and about 40 foot wide, but it kind of shifted like water almost. But it looked like it was almost a liquid, like a metallic, that was emanating bright green light. And it was so bright that it lit up the entire woods that it was surrounding over. It lit up the road that we were driving on. And I didn't say anything initially. I just kind of looked at it, was honestly shell-shocked personally. And it wasn't until my wife said, "Huh, that looks weird," that I just asked her, and I started freaking out because I've never seen anything like this. I was just like, "What are you seeing? What did you see? What does it look like?" And she goes, "It looks like a floating green light." As she says this, it literally starts dropping. Now, at this point, it's probably about 150 to 200 feet in the air above a very heavily wooded area, and it starts slowly descending into the woods. And you could see the light coming through the woods. And I mean, this is very thick woods, so it's going to be really hard to see anything. But the fact that the light's bursting through it is pretty significant, because I don't know of anything that it could have been. And that's why I have to say it's a UFO. At first, I thought maybe somebody had like a blimp, or maybe they had some kind of drone that had a laser being pointed at it, one of those green laser lights. But the fact that it was putting off so much light, and the fact that there was so much light coming from the woods, that I had to say, well, it could have been a laser light, especially how far off it was. I mean, we're talking, for me personally, it's maybe 500 feet away in the woods. So that's from the road. My wife and I, we decided later on, we hightailed it out of there because I wasn't going to stick around to figure out exactly what it was. But a few days later, we ended up going out there to try to see what could have landed or if there's any kind of damage to the woods. And surprisingly, there was nothing in the woods. There was no sign of damage to the trees anywhere in the remote area. There didn't seem to be any kind of leaves displaced. There's a house that actually sits relatively close to it. And from what I understand, they did not see anything that night, particularly. They might not have been home, is what they told us. So it was just a really interesting sighting. And one of the things that I find really interesting about it was not too long after that, there was a lot of sightings of glowing lights relatively low to the ground that people couldn't understand what they were seeing. Obviously, we would call those UFOs because we don't know what they are. Now, could I say it's an alien? Not necessarily, but it was definitely unidentified, and it was very shocking, to say the least. It seems that after a little bit of research that I did, because my wife is from the mountains of North Carolina, there is a phenomenon called the Brown Mountain Lights, which almost mimic the exact same thing that we were looking at that night. She actually told me about these lights and what they look like, and from the description that she gave, from all the research that I did, all the descriptions that even National Geographic did, this is a perfect match for what those are, except this was much, much bigger than what they're seeing out at Brown Mountain. So it was really interesting to see, and I was really kind of pleased to know that other people were seeing things in the sky and that I wasn't going crazy. Especially something that was so close to my house, because like I said, I never believed it before. But I started looking up in the sky a lot more and paying a lot more attention after this and started seeing quite a few different things out in my hometown, which is really ironic now that I think about it. That was one of the biggest proof sightings that I had. Like I could definitely tell you it was something unidentified. It was a little scary to me because I didn't know what I was seeing. And when my wife and I finally did get married, we moved into an apartment in the same town. We would bring that situation up quite a few times about the green orb that we saw. And, you know, we tried to talk about it and she just came up with the same conclusion. We can't tell what it was. We'll probably never know what it truly was. But it was very intense. One night we were sitting outside by the campfire out at our apartment that we had made, and we were looking up in the sky, and sure enough, there was another light way up in the sky that we saw that almost mimicked it. And it was kind of like ironic because we saw something eerily similar traveling one direction. And the next thing we know, we saw it do a complete 180 turn and zip out super fast. And that kind of got to me, especially since that day specifically, we had just got done talking about what we had seen, you know, 2 years ago. And that kind of freaked me out. So I kind of went inside. I was pretty much done after that. So that was a very interesting sequence of events that happened that night. I have a paranormal story. The same with the UFO thing. Like I didn't necessarily discount it, but I didn't like full-heartedly believe in the paranormal. When I was a kid, I would see things, you know, shadow things. You would hear voices sometimes, but ultimately I kind of rationalized these things and chalked it up as it's just something that happened. It's something that maybe I hallucinated or I imagined, and I really didn't think too much of it until one night I went to my wife's mother's house, so my mother-in-law's house. We didn't really talk about her house that much. It was kind of out in the middle of nowhere. It was a farmhouse in North Carolina. And we went out there for a trip just to visit and see her brothers, because I only met her brothers once. So I went out there to, you know, chat up with them and spend the night and, you know, play video games and whatnot. And we got there and we decided to play hide and seek in the dark, which is kind of cool because at this farmhouse, there are no lights anywhere. It's literally 45 minutes away from the next city. So, I mean, it's there's nothing out there except for cows and country and trees. That's it. So when it's dark outside, I mean, it's pitch black. You cannot see anything in front of you. It is just eternal darkness if you are in a house. If you're outside, you can see the moonlight, but that's about it. If it's a cloudy night, it is pitch black. So this particular night, it was a starry night. It was really dark in the house still. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. I mean, it was really, really dark. And I hid in the kitchen along with my brother-in-law, and he hid up on top of the refrigerator. So I didn't think much of it. I hid under a cupboard on another side of the room, but it was looking towards the refrigerator. And when he got up there, I saw a light coming from behind the refrigerator. And naturally, I thought, well, maybe the door had just came open a little bit. It turned the light on. It's shining through the back of the refrigerator, and it's casting a light on the wall. Didn't think much of it. The night goes on. I finally asked after the game was over. I was like, so what was up with the light behind the refrigerator? And my wife said, what light are you talking about? And I said, the light that came on behind the refrigerator. Does the refrigerator light turn on or something whenever it's open a little bit, or what the deal was? Because I could see it behind it. And she told me that not only does the refrigerator not have a light because it was just a really old refrigerator, but that there is a door that is behind the refrigerator and there is no light in that door. But clearly that's where the light was coming from after all was said and done. All the lights were turned on, and upon further inspection, you could tell that's where the light was actually coming from. So I started getting freaked out, and I asked her, you know, what's the deal with the door? Like, why is there a refrigerator in front of this door in your house? And she told me that when she was younger, that was a cellar door, and no matter what they did to that door, it would open up. They tried tying it with a rope, and they would go into the kitchen in the middle of the night, and the rope would be off, and the door would be wide open. They tried chaining it shut. They would go out there, and the chain would be off of the door. They finally tried padlocks. The padlocks would be completely off of the door, and the door would be wide open. And then finally, they decided to put a refrigerator in front of it. And at nighttime, you could literally hear the door trying to open and bang against the back of the refrigerator. Now, of course, this is the second time that I've ever met her family, because her parents were divorced. So I didn't really get to see this side of the family that much. But this is the only second time that I got to see them. And this is the first time I'm ever at her mother's house. So it really, I thought they were just having a laugh at me. I really thought that it was all a joke. And we really didn't talk much about that. We really didn't stay too much after that. We left. And then after we had gotten married, we went back to the house one night. And her mother worked really late at night, and she wouldn't get home until about 3 a.m. or so. My wife and I were in town. I was like, hey, let's just go over there. We'll hang out till she gets home. We'll, you know, just chill, watch some movies. When she gets home, we'll all go to sleep. And in the morning, we'll wake up and we'll go out and go hiking, because that's one of our favorite things to do. We got to the house around midnight or so, and we laid down in the bed, of course, you know, just hanging out. And the house is eerily silent this night. Like, normally it's quiet. You would hear boards popping here and there because it is a very old house. It was over 100 years old. And for some reason, something seemed really off. While we were laying in the bed, I heard the front door of the house open. And I noticed that it was only about 12:30 or 1 o'clock in the morning. So I asked my wife, I was like, hey, is your mom home early? Did she get off work early, or what's the deal? And she said, no, if she would have got off early, she would have called us, because we could have like got something to eat, or she would have asked us if we wanted to do something in the meantime while she got off early, because there's still things to do where she was at. So we could have headed out there and hung out with her. And so that kind of freaked me out because I thought maybe someone was trying to rob the house because the entire house was pitch black. We had all the lights off except for the ones that were in our room. And it was just a nightlight that was in our room. I turned the TV off and it got really quiet. And we heard footsteps walking around the house. And so I asked my wife, I was like, hey, do we need to like jump out the window? Because this is starting to get kind of freaky. And she's just like, just be quiet and let's see what happens. So I start getting nervous because I'm thinking that we're getting robbed. I don't know what she's thinking because she's telling me to be quiet and let's just see what happens. So I'm starting to get really nervous. Well, then we hear the footsteps get kind of closer and closer to the hallway that leads to the room that we're in. And so I start freaking out. I was like, hey, let's just hop out the window. The car keys are right here. Let's just go. We can get out because we're definitely being robbed. And she was like, no, just be quiet. It'll be okay. And so I just sat there and I was quiet because I, for some reason, I trusted her. So I got quiet and the hall light kicks on and my eyes get huge. Like my heart starts pounding because I'm starting to get scared. And the footsteps slowly walk in front of the door of the room that we're staying in. Now, this isn't a normal door with a doorknob. It is a sliding door. It actually has a hoop lock with a screw hook that locks into the wall. So it's not like a normal door that you could just turn the knob, open up. It doesn't work like that. It literally has to. We locked it, by the way. So you have a hook that goes into the wall that locks it. So there's no way of pulling it open because it was a really sturdy hook. The hook just pops out from our side of the room. And you could see 2 feet standing behind the door because the light coming through the bottom. Because there's about a 2-inch gap underneath it. And the door just slowly slides open and no one's on the other side. And I look at my wife and I literally said, what the F is going on? Like, what? This is not, there's no one there. And she goes, just be quiet and it will go away. And I was like, what are you talking about? What do you mean it will go away? There's either there's somebody here, or there's nothing here. But somebody just opened the door and they're not on the other side. And she told me to quit freaking out and it'll go away. I didn't believe her because I don't know what's going on. I've never experienced anything like this in my life. Now, she was laying in front of me. So her back is to a closet. I'm looking at the closet the way I'm laying down. And to the right of the closet is a little chest of drawers where my wife has placed her purse. Now, the purse has a leather and chain handle. So if you pick up the handle, you're grabbing the leather part, but it has chains on it. So you can actually hear it rattling when it moves. So if you try to pick it up and the chains get tight, you'll obviously hear the chains clank because it's made of, I think these were sterling silver because it was a Coach purse. It was a very nice purse. But I'm looking at the closet. And the closet door, also a sliding door, starts to barely slide open. And I'm freaking out. And I said, the closet just opened. And she said, be quiet. And it goes away. And I see this black hand reach out from the closet, grab the leather strap, and slowly pick up the purse. Just enough for the chain to get tight without hearing it clink. And I'm at this point telling my wife everything that's going on. I said, there's something reached out of the closet and it grabbed the purse. And her eyes start getting bigger because this isn't normal. And it shakes the purse, making the chain noise. And I said, honey, we need to go. And she said, just be quiet and it'll go away. Then it shakes it again. And I was like, sweetheart, I'm leaving. Either you're coming with me or you're staying here, but I'm not staying in this house one more second because I can't explain what I'm seeing. And she told me, please just shut up. And then all of a sudden it shakes the purse really hard. And I just yell, I'm getting the heck out of here. And she goes, just shut up. This thing launches the purse into the floor, probably about 10 feet across the room. I get up, take off towards the door. My wife gets up. She takes off to the door. And we hang out in the car. And I just ask her. I was like, what in the heck is going on? And she finally tells me that there used to be something in the house. She said she couldn't explain it, but ever since she was a little girl, there was something not so nice in the house. It never really bothered her too much, but it would always mess with her brothers, especially. It would make itself look like something it wasn't. Whether you want to call it a ghost or a spirit, I would prefer it an entity. It would actually transform itself into someone that you would know. And that was a very common thing for this to do, this entity. And her brother, Steven, was playing hide and go seek. You can start to see a pattern, but they would play this out in the cornfield behind the house. And one day he started chasing what he thought was his cousin, Samantha, out towards the woods. Well, he came home and he'd straight beeline for her and chased her, you know, a half a mile towards the woods because it was a very big farm. And he decided that he couldn't catch her and he would just come back and wait for her. But when he got back to the house, she was sitting in the living room and he was like, I thought you were out there in the woods. She was like, no, I never ran to the woods. So it was very common for this thing to take form of something that they would know. And it happened very, very often. Her brother Dawson said that it looked like their stepdad one time out at a barn, which was pretty interesting. And he thought that one time he was being robbed and actually chased a person down with a 2x4 and rounded a corner of the barn and noticed that nobody was actually there, even though he saw somebody physically talk to him and run around that barn, and there's no way in the barn from that backside, and there's nowhere to go because it's wide open land at that point. So it's very, very strange, that house. Ever since that incident, though, with the entity reaching out of the closet and actually throwing that purse, we never went back, or at least stayed. We did go back one more time, but I went as far as the front porch and decided I wasn't going in the house because I didn't feel comfortable. It always felt very heavy after having experienced this inside the house. I tried to go in maybe two more times after this, and I couldn't bring myself to it because I was too freaked out. But it got so bad that my mother-in-law and brother-in-law both ended up completely moving out of the house because it was starting to get to them, whatever that thing was. I know that. One night it started running around the house and my in-laws just had enough of it. They wanted whatever was in the house gone. It had been tormenting them for so long. And finally they were trying to just track it down. And they heard a bunch of noises coming from the laundry room in the house. And so Dawson, my brother-in-law, decided that he was going to open the door and just finally see whatever was haunting this house. Because this truly was a haunting. This wasn't like, you know, a residual spirit trying to make contact or whatever. It was torturing everyone and anyone that was stepping foot inside that house. It knew what it was doing. That's why I prefer to call it an entity, because it seems smarter than what a ghost would be, per se. And he opened up the door, and whatever was behind that door attacked him. And my mother-in-law said she was standing right there watching it. She was freaking out because it literally pushed my brother-in-law backward and he just fell to the floor like he had gotten punched really hard and just doubled over and started crying. And whatever that thing was that hit him, he couldn't break that. Like it shook him so bad that for a literal week, he laid in his bed crying and sobbing, didn't eat, rarely slept. And that's not usual for him. He never had like bouts like this and would just lay there and cry. And finally, they took him to the hospital where they gave him some type of drugs that made him kind of come back to. And he started talking about what he saw, and he said all he knows was he saw a face jump out at him, and it was like it ran through his body. all of a sudden, like, all these emotions just ran through him and he couldn't shake whatever it was. And it wasn't until after he took the medicine that the doctors gave him that he finally was able to break out of this eternal depression, almost, if you want to call it that. But it, whatever was in that house was not good. But the craziest part about this thing that was haunting that house was it actually followed my wife and I after that. Probably about 7 months after that incident, we moved into an apartment in a town called Richfield. And that's relatively close to where my wife stayed, or went to college, rather. And, you know, we would talk about that incident, sort of like how we would end up eventually talking about the UFO that we saw close to my house. And, like, we just like to discuss things and try to rationalize things, because it's almost like I still don't believe that it happened, even though I was witness to it. I saw the things happening in front of me, but it's almost so far-fetched that it's hard to believe. And so we like to reminisce and talk about it. Well, my wife then decided to confess that she was having some really bad nightmares, and she thinks that it was something that came from her mother's house. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And she was like, well, it was this dark figure and it's been following me. And like, I always see it in every dream that I have. Every time I go to sleep, I get scared, but it's not like it's hurting me, so I don't know what to do. And so I was like, well, it's probably just nothing. It's probably just playing in the back of your mind because of what I described to you. You know, just trying to play it off, because I've never, like I said, I've never had experience with anything like this before. Well, one night we were laying in the bed and she just starts violently thrashing about in her sleep. I mean, she is completely out. She is screaming and shaking and throwing her fist. And I don't know what's going on. So I just get on top of her and grab her shoulders and start shaking her and start yelling at her. And she doesn't seem to be responding or waking up. And she does this for maybe a minute. And I start getting worried for her health, because the way she's throwing her head around, I thought that maybe she was going to strain or injure her neck, because, I mean, she was violently thrashing. So I kind of just gave her a little slap, not to hurt her, but just kind of to wake her up. And it wasn't anything like super violent, like, and I would never do that to her, but it was just something to shock her system, maybe to get her out of whatever dream state she was in. And it worked. And she wakes up and just starts crying to me and telling me that whatever was in her dream tried to possess her in her dreams. And it freaked me out. She gave me this long story that she was trying to feed our baby that we had at the time, and it was shoving formula in her mouth, and it was just trying to possess her almost. And it really freaked me out. And I've never seen anybody react like that, either asleep or awake before in person. And be so convinced that something was trying to overtake their body.
The 40th Film Festival is a new celebration of cinema, created by people who have a passion for all things weird and paranormal. The current season is now open for submissions. Get involved if you're a filmmaker that has a penchant for poltergeists and adores aliens. Or if you're a producer devoted to demonology with a soft spot for sci-fi. The deadline for submissions to this IMDb-approved festival is fast approaching. Go to www.fortianfilmfestival.com to submit your film or buy tickets, if you dare.
And it wasn't until one night that I actually had an experience with something. I can't describe if it was the entity that I was talking about or if it just so happens that I had my first sleepwalk ever. But one night we all started partying. I had a good bit to drink, And my brother-in-law, who is 6'5", all 300 pounds, had to carry me, literally carry me. I couldn't walk myself to the bed, but had to carry me to the bed. And to describe to you the way that the bed was set up, it needs to be explained for the story to make sense. So where I lay on the bed, I laid up against a wall. The headboard is against the wall, and the left side of the bed is against the wall, and I lay on the left side of the bed. At the foot of the bed is a chest of drawers, and to the right is where my wife would sleep. And she is a very light sleeper at this point in time because we had a baby, and he wasn't even a year old yet. So any kind of movement would wake my wife up because of her maternal instincts, and she would pop right up out of bed if anything moved in the room or anything even made a slight noise. So having said that, she was completely sober. She doesn't drink and she doesn't do drugs, so she's always stay sober. She laid down beside me. I'm very, very intoxicated, and I go to sleep. Well, the next thing I know, I'm being slapped in the face, and I wake up in a completely different part of the house than where I was. And I ask, you know, my wife is freaking out because she's the one who slapped me and woke me up. And she's like, how did you get here? And I was like, I don't even know where I am. And it turns out that I was on the couch in the living room. And this is about 5 hours later. And the weird thing is, I was so intoxicated that it would have been literally impossible for me to get off of that bed without just completely bulldozing over my wife. I couldn't even walk. Even when I was woke up from the couch, I was still somewhat intoxicated. Like, I still couldn't walk straight. I was still relatively drunk. And so I kind of just assessed the situation. And I look at how I'm laying on this couch. And the only way that I could have got to this couch was, once again, my brother-in-law is 6'5", 300 pounds, okay? And he was sleeping on a really small couch. Why he decided to sleep on that specific couch this night, I don't know. Maybe it's just because that's where he was sitting when he was drinking and passed out on it, but I don't know. But the way he was laying down was his legs were outstretched onto the couch that I was laying on, so I wouldn't have been able to walk over. And at this point in time, I wasn't a very agile person. Also, I was drunk. So I don't imagine me getting over his legs without waking him up. And so the only explanation was somehow I got out of bed, walked to the couch without anybody hearing me, and fell over the back of the couch onto the couch, and then proceeded to set pillows up strategically on the couch with two pillows where my head would be, two pillows where my feet would be, a blanket that wasn't even on the couch and was in a hall closet, draped perfectly onto the couch. And then I laid my feet down first, propped up and crossed my head on the two pillows, and then laid on the couch with my arms crossed like a vampire. It kind of freaked me out because I have no idea what happened. And it was one of those things where I was like, okay, they now know that I saw a UFO and that I was scared of it because I didn't know what it was. That whatever I saw in the farmhouse that night really freaked me out. My wife just had a violent outburst at night, and they know that all three of those things scare me. And now they're just making fun of me and trying to be funny because obviously I was drunk. So I thought, okay, of course they'll tell me it was a joke. Well, a couple months later, you know, I started talking to my wife and I was like, hey, you know, were you guys just like, be honest with me, were you pulling my leg that night? And she, as serious as could be, was like, no, we have no idea how you got there. Like, being 100% serious, we still are trying to figure out what happened. And so to this day, we still have no idea what happened, how I got there, if it was something paranormal, if it was possibly aliens, because the scary thing about the whole situation was, like I said, after seeing the UFO, I was scared of aliens, but I don't know what aliens look like. Of course, you have all these theoreticals. I don't think that a lot of people have seen aliens, so we have to go off of the few eyewitnesses that we do know of. And that specific night, I had a dream about aliens and what appeared to be, I wouldn't say like a gray, it was almost like a white looking alien, like what you would think a tall gray would look like if they were almost solid white, but it looked like there was a really bright light behind them. And I don't know if it was just a dream or not, but it I would imagine it was, because I checked my body afterwards just because I was so paranoid and freaked out. And I didn't see any kind of marks or anything. And I vaguely remember having some kind of alien dream. So I wouldn't chalk it up to being an abduction and being moved to another place. But I would definitely probably put that in the paranormal category, simply because of what happened to my wife, not but 2 months beforehand. After my wife graduated college, we decided to move to Thomasville, North Carolina, and we got an apartment together, and it just so happened to be where both of our jobs were. We had lived in our apartment for about 2 years. Nothing really happened. It was kind of creepy. It was right, you know, neighboring a graveyard, a very big cemetery. It was, I don't know, it was a really great place. Like, I always felt comfortable, and not like the way I felt in the farmhouse. So I never felt like I was ever threatened. But we did have quite a few experiences in there as far as paranormal activity. The first one being, I tried to become a YouTuber at one point in my life. I really wanted to give it a go just to see if I would like it. I would stream video games, record audio for video games and things of that nature. And one day, my best friend, Zach, but we call him Turkey, he was over at my house and we were playing a Call of Duty video game. And as we were playing, I was recording it, trying to get all my audio settings right so that way I could do a zombie video, because I really enjoyed Call of Duty Zombies. And as I was talking to him, I had a microphone that sat relatively close to me, relatively close to him. We could both give our opinions on the new map that just came out. I was checking the audio levels on a very nice headset, actually the one I'm wearing right now. And I heard something weird. I was talking to him. He responded. Then I said something again. It was just radio silence because he just didn't respond. But then I heard something respond. And so I stopped recording. I stopped all the stuff. I was like, hold on a second. Like, I even had this on the recording. I wish I would have saved it, but unfortunately I didn't. I stopped it, went back and played it. And a reply to just something random that I said was, goodbye, but not like a computer would say. It sounded like a person, not a robot or anything like that, to the point where it even showed up on the audio when I looked at the actual visualization of the audio. You could actually see that blip on there, which was freaky. We didn't have any computers that would say that. If it logged off, neither of our cell phones cut off, so we knew it wasn't that. At this point in time, neither Google Home or Alexa existed, so that all got discounted. We looked outside the apartment. No one was home. Luckily, I had a job at the time where I worked 12-hour swing shifts, so I was off the entire day. And this was very early in the morning, and we had no neighbors at the time. So either the left or the right of me was completely empty. There's no one there. There's no cars in the parking lot because it's early in the morning. Everybody's at work. So it wasn't any person that was there. And the only other person that could have been was the person sitting right beside of me, who I had my earphone off, and I would have heard him physically say that sitting beside of me. So it wasn't him. He gets up and he was like, well, man, that's a little too freaky for me. I'm going to go get a drink. So he gets up and goes into the kitchen, and he was like, hey, man, you might want to come in here and look at this. And so I was like, all right, sure. You know, I didn't think anything of it. As soon as I get to the kitchen, all the cabinet drawers are completely open. All the drawers, all the doors, the refrigerator, everything is wide open. And I just look at him, and he was like, are you messing with me, dude? And he was like, no, I just came in here. I thought you were messing with me. I was like, no, I've been in the living room the whole time, and you were the last one to get a drink. So we both kind of got freaked out. And my buddy Zach, he's not one to ever play jokes like that. He don't joke around like that. He does joke around, but not like that. He doesn't. At this point, I don't even think he really knew that, like, ghosts and things like that scared me. I wouldn't say scare me, but, like, they kind of get to me because of that situation. And so I don't think that he would have played a prank like that. As I kept trying to build up my YouTube career, I also started trying to do Twitch. And it was pretty cool. I enjoyed the live streaming aspect simply because I could use, at the time, my Xbox One with the Xbox Kinect. And the Kinect had a really cool feature where a lot of streamers had PCs that they were using, and it would capture pretty much your chest up, usually filmed with a really decent camera, maybe 1080p or better. And I didn't have access to that. I didn't have a PC at all at this point. Just an Xbox. So I used the Xbox Kinect, and it had a facial zoom feature. Now, what it does is it tracks the face of any person that it deems to be in the best viewing area. So if you had a group of friends, you could literally zoom in on one person, or it would actually face track. So if you were just one person in a room and you were sitting, I don't know, kind of off to the side or maybe askew, not quite dead center of the camera, it would literally track to your face. Well, I decided one night I was going to stream on Twitch. I was playing, and I didn't like how far the camera was from my face. And so I decided to use the facial recognition zoom. So I clicked it, and at first it started zooming in on my face perfectly. And then it started going off to the side and into the corner of the room, where you could just see a silhouette of a black figure, relatively small, like a child, not a full-grown adult, but a child almost. And I'm just looking at it through the screen. I'm not turning around, and I'm definitely not going to. And the way that my TV is set up and where I'm sitting, the angles don't match up, so I know it's not my shadow, because when I zoomed out, you can see my shadow behind me and then this shadow in the corner. And so I was like, okay, maybe it's just picking up the shadow. You know, of course, it won't do it again. It sees my face clearly. I turned a light on, a secondary light on, and I was like, all right, zoom in again. It went right back to the corner where the shadow, much well lit up this time, but still barely there. It facial recognitions to that one. So I just said, you know what? I'm not going to stream tonight. I just turned the Xbox off. Laid down on the couch where I was, my wife was also laying on the couch. We had a sectional. I just lay down and said, I'm just going to go to sleep. We'll see what happens in the morning. Cause maybe it's just me. So in the morning time, I decided to try it again, see if it would go to that corner. Maybe it was just a glitch in the system. Maybe it just, picked up a shadow. Maybe it was just, the Kinect was messed up. I don't know. We tried it again. Sure enough, man, it zoomed right on my face, and it freaked me out because I was like, why didn't it do this last night? Why did it zoom into the corner? And I kept looking at the corner. Like, I just remember, I was like, it didn't seem like an adult. It wasn't tall enough. It looked like a child, maybe a 5-year-old or so, which was weird because I had a 5-year-old, and my 5-year-old would play with somebody in the house and freak me out because he was always saying that he was playing with another kid. Or at least pretending to. So I can't tell whether that was a ghost or an entity, or maybe his just imagination wanting to have a friend to play with, which is very possible too. So that was always kind of weird. But I have one more really good one. And this involves my wife. And I wish she was here to tell this one, because this one was probably the most creepy one that happened at the apartment. But it was Christmas time. And my wife and I were laying on the sectional couch, and it was a townhouse. So it actually had an upstairs part, 11 steps up. And so we were laying on the couch. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see something walk down the steps, making zero noise, and then jet behind the couch, because we made a little hallway with the couch in the actual hallway that existed, because we had a sectional. So it was really long. And it felt like you could feel the wind blow off of whatever ducked behind the couch. And naturally, my wife and I both thought at first it was our son. And I didn't say anything because I knew that it wasn't our son. And so my wife decided to call out, hey, what are you doing? Thinking that she was talking to our son. And I looked at her and I was like, that wasn't him. And she looked at me and she's like, what are you talking about? Of course that was him. I just saw him duck behind the couch. Like, I watched him walk around the corner and duck behind the couch. I said, honey, he's up in his room. I can hear him playing. And she goes, no, he's not. And so I yelled out his name. I said, hey, what are you doing? He goes nothing up from his room. And my wife's face was just turned pale white because it freaked her out, because we'd been hearing him talking about playing with another kid. And then all of a sudden there was something that we thought was our kid ducking right behind the couch. Well, after we kind of calmed down, we watched cartoons because that's what my wife likes to do when she gets freaked out. We watched a few cartoons to kind of settle down and detox what just happened out of her system. And we went to bed, laid upstairs. My son was in his bed, and we kept hearing the Christmas tree start to move. Now, we don't have any pets, so this is kind of odd, especially considering we didn't have the air on because it's the middle of winter. So it's relatively cold in the house already, and we don't have the heat on. We kind of just let the other two apartments heat our apartment because we like to save energy, and it kind of heated the apartment relatively well. We kept hearing this noise downstairs, and my wife was like, go check it out, go check it out. And I was like, I'm not checking anything out. I was like, I'm not going downstairs and getting killed by some ghost child that we just saw, because like, it's still in the back of my mind. And sure enough, we hear this loud smash, and I think that someone tried to break in through the window and knocked over the Christmas tree. And when I went down to the floor, there were a ton of the Christmas decorations all over the floor, a bunch of them smashed, but the tree is perfectly upright. And so I took one of my work flashlights and looked through all the tree to make sure. And this was a fake tree, so I don't know what made me think that maybe a squirrel got into the tree, but it was a fake tree. So I start looking through this fake tree thinking that I'm going to see a squirrel, and there's nothing in there. And I look through the house, and there's no stray cats or anything that just so happened to get in. And we just kind of chalked it up that it was whatever our son was playing with or claimed to play with. It was just so happened to be that, because of all the really playful things that it was doing. And it never seemed like it was really scary, more freaky than anything, but not scary. Not like what we saw at the farmhouse. So I thought this was a really playful entity, and or a ghost for this one. I'll call this one a ghost. I thought this was a really playful ghost, just somebody who wanted some attention. And luckily we were there, and we even told it goodbye when we ended up moving out. So that was a pretty fitting thing for it to finally get to have new friends to play with. Hopefully they're not freaked out like we weren't, but hopefully they took well to whatever was in there.
I'd like to know what was in that cellar back at the farmhouse.
It was used for, so originally the cellar was used for like a little bit of storage. There's kind of a dark side to it, really. Her stepdad was not such a nice person, and so he kept alcohol and I assume probably some drugs, and you know, they had some things in there that just normal things like stuff you would have for around the house, maybe some light bulbs, some tools maybe. But what ended up happening was the door kept opening and whatnot. The light kept coming on that was in there, because there was an actual light that was in there, but it would keep like flashing and turning on and off. And so they got tired of it and literally took all of the stuff out of it. Literally everything that was in the cellar, they took completely out of it. And the light would still come on, even though there's no light in the light socket. So somehow it was making some kind of light source. I really have no explanation. They don't know what it was either. They freaked out. And honestly, one of the funnier stories that I kind of left out, because I don't want to seem like it's really sappy, but it is true. My wife and I are Cherokee, and so a lot of the land that they lived on was Cherokee land. And so because it was a farm that her mother and stepdad had, her stepdad decided to do some excavation on the property. And they actually accidentally dug up some Indian graves. And they knew that it was an Indian grave because of the type of stones that they had placed on the ground. And he didn't think anything of it at the time because, you know, it's not like it was a massive grave or anything. You could just tell there was like maybe two or three stones on the ground. Like we would have headstones in a cemetery. They literally placed stones to know where their relatives were. And he dug up a skull, and they thought it was really cool. It was like, oh man, look at this skull. It's super crazy, blah, blah, blah. And one of his buddies that was actually there with him, there was like, hey man, can I take that home? That'd be super cool to have in my house. Now the guy that he gave that to, the skull. He wasn't religious or anything like that. He was really agnostic, kind of just, you know, lived life, didn't really care about anything. I took it home. And within 24 hours, he was back at that house and handed it back to her stepdad and said, put that crap back in the ground. I was going to curse. I'm sorry. He said, put that crap back in the ground. That thing is evil. And so that's exactly what they did. But
introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange.
It appeared that things were happening before that incident. So I'm not really sure what started that whole thing at the farmhouse. I've tried to ask them if there was like any one event that they can remember that kind of kick-started it all. And they said, no, not really. It just like as soon as we moved in here, it was always kind of off-putting, but it gradually got worse as it went on. Like my wife actually recalled being locked into the barn with her brothers and no one was at the house at the time because it's, you know, they kind of live out in the country. So nothing really bad happens out in the country. Like there's not a lot of bad people. That didn't come until later when people found that at one point they abandoned the house, that people started like kind of coming in and rummaging through the house and stuff. But whenever they lived there, nothing bad happened because you really couldn't tell that there was even a house out there. It was in the woods. And then behind the woods was like 13 acres of land. Maybe it might have been 18 acres of land, but it was a lot of land behind the house. So, and they owned the whole thing. And she said that one day her and her brothers were playing outside and they went into a barn. They got literally chained into the barn and it wrapped a chain around the door and padlocked it. And it wasn't a person because they were looking through the holes because the barn wasn't like a really old barn. So it wasn't built very well. And like they could look through the slits of the barn and see that there was nobody at the door. So that's pretty interesting. And she doesn't have really good memories of that house, which is why we never visited. We mostly stayed with her dad's house when we visited up there. But yeah, man, it was a really creepy house. Like, even just looking at it, like you would just be like, man, I don't know if I want to go in there. It looks like some Texas Chainsaw Massacre crap, man. Like it was gnarly looking.
Was it not a very old building?
Yeah, it was at least 100 years old. I don't know exactly how old, but I know they said I do recall her mother saying at least 100. So or at least a century old at the time. So I really couldn't give you an actual date. But I mean, this thing was super old. Like even the wood, you could tell by the way the wood floors were and how like kind of decrepit looking they were. Like you could tell they went through some abuse, man. Like it was something else. Like I'm glad they put that refrigerator in front of that cellar door, because there's no way in heck I was going in that thing. Like even if they paid me, I would not open that freaking door to save my life. There were rooms in the house I wouldn't even go into. Even during the day when it was plenty bright, I wouldn't go in those rooms because it just was creepy looking, man. Like, and it wasn't any fault of theirs. It's just the way it looked.
Old buildings have a lot of history.
Absolutely. And I don't even know if they ever looked into the history. I know that her mother-in-law actually bought it for them as a wedding gift, like just out straight out cash, just bought the whole house, all the land, everything on it, just straight up paid cash for it. She was pretty well off. So like everything that was on the property at the time that the people who lived there had, they just left it there. So everything that she bought, it was just there. And I don't know if they ever looked into the history. I mean, I would imagine it was still a relatively expensive house considering it was prime. It still is prime farmland. Like it's right on top of limestone. So, I mean, the well water that's in it is very valuable considering the area. It can grow incredibly good crop. There at the end, like the last 2 years, they kind of let it overgrow because it was just like getting to like the house was really just getting to them. Whatever was in it was just really getting to them to the point where they both just abandoned a paid for house. Like, and no one does that because the market for a house nowadays is not very good. And they just up and left a paid for house. They were like, we're done. We're not even going to stay. We'll move to an, they literally went and got an apartment because they were tired of living in that creepy house. So, I mean, it was paid for too. They didn't have, and she had all the rights to it. The stepdad kind of got out of the picture, but, you know, she owned the house. So, I mean, and no one just leaves a house unless there's an actual good reason. And considering some of the things that I experienced, you know, with the light flickering on and off, the door trying to open, the actual thing I say is it was an attack attacking us. You know, a couple different experiences that they were telling me about, like her mother said that one night she laid in the bed and it felt like somebody like climbed in the bed with her and started breathing on her neck and whispering in her ear. And she knew that it wasn't her husband. So it really freaked her out. And then like she just finally got enough courage to turn around and look and nothing was there. Stuff like that. I mean, like it there was one actually probably about a couple months before they finally broke down before that, my brother-in-law got attacked from the laundry room. She said it sounded like a semi truck just in the middle of the day. It sounded like a semi truck running into the house over and over and over. And so they went outside and looked, and there was nothing hitting the house. There was no trees directly near the house where it was happening at. There were trees in the front yard, but this was kind of like in the backyard to the, like the side of the house and the back of the house where the kitchen was. So and they couldn't explain that. And I mean, it was just literally the craziest things that you could imagine happening that would make you think that you're going crazy happened at that house. I mean, literally, I thought I was like it still today feels like I was dreaming it. Like it's so far fetched and so out there that you would think that it was fake. Like someone was playing a joke on you, but I mean, there was no joke there. There's no gimmick there. It literally is being haunted by some kind of entity. I couldn't explain what it is. I'm not going to try to explain what it is because I sure as heck don't know. But it is freaky, man. Like, you couldn't pay me to go back to that house. Couldn't. Especially after whatever it was felt like it followed my wife and I. You couldn't pay me to go back.
Yeah, that's creepy, man. That's creepy.
Been really enjoying a lot of yours because it's almost therapeutic in a way because you're hearing other people's accounts of what's happened to them, whether it be paranormal or UFO. Obviously, a lot of yours was dealing with UFO. And it was like kind of cool to hear other people's experiences and making me feel less crazy than what I felt, you know, because I don't know. It's weird because like when you have experiences like this where even today, it still feels almost taboo-ish to talk about. Like I even try to talk about some of the things with my parents and they're just like, you're an idiot. And I'm like, well, I'm not an idiot. I mean, obviously I'm not an idiot. It's just, you know, this is what happened. And they're like, no, it's definitely not true. You're just making it up. You're probably drunk or high or something, you crazy kid, you know, whatever. And I mean, like it's really hard to talk to a lot of people about because they kind of like still scoff at you in a way. So to be able to hear other people is kind of, I do enjoy that. Validates it.
There's a lot of weird stuff out there. And, a lot of people that tend to scoff are the ones which have just never experienced anything.
Yeah, or they deny it when they do.
They do, yeah.
Like I said, when I see, like my wife and I, we were even making a joke. We went on a boat cruise, not out in the ocean, but it was like a dinner boat in North Carolina. And we were joking about because we saw all these like flashing lights, but they they look like a couple of them were airplanes, a couple of them were this. And then there was one light that you could see like reflecting in the water, and then it just disappeared and never came back. And I just looked at my wife and I was like, well, that was kind of weird, wasn't it? And she was like, yeah. I was like, that's great. We're even seeing UFOs on our honeymoon. This is ridiculous at this point. I'm like, I don't even know. I don't know what that was. It was too far away, and I'm on a moving boat. And so, I mean, I couldn't say that was a UFO, which is why I didn't even talk about it. But I mean, you know, it's just weird stuff. Like if you have an experience kind of like we did where it was so, so real, like in your face, like there's no other way to really describe it. You start to pay attention more. And I think the more that you actually start paying attention, the more that you actually start seeing.
Yeah.
And right. I think a lot of people just don't want to see.
Yeah, you've hit a nail on the head there.
Yeah, they don't want to know, really. And that's pretty intense because, like, just some of the stuff like when I was talking about, I was sitting at the campfire and saw that UFO kind of, like, zip around. I mean, literally, like, within a snap of a finger, the thing literally just kind of whipped around and took off the other way and was gone. Like, I know you posted on Twitter that video of the that light in California that looked kind of like a comet coming down.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But the descension of it was kind of slow. Like it had a really long tail and it looked like it was, had been going quite a ways. It was kind of like that in the way that this looked, but a lot faster, and the tail was gone almost instantly, which was weird.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy that you like the podcast.
Oh, yeah, it's really great, man. I enjoy it a lot. I've been really getting into, like, true crime podcasts because those kind of things interest me. And obviously, paranormal, that's how I found you, honestly. So, and it was really ironic. I stumbled upon it. I think I was on YouTube at first, and I saw UFO Chronicles, and I was like, huh, that's weird. And then I went on Twitter and saw it again, and I was like, huh. What is this? So I clicked on one of your messages and it popped up back to the YouTube video that I saw earlier. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. It's a podcast. I'm down because I need something to listen to when I'm at work. So this podcast is a lot more unique because it is like this person has an experience. They have maybe one experience or XYZ experience, you know, this many. And here they are telling it. And I'm not really sure I've heard any other podcast doing this. Where it's just firsthand account, nothing but one person just giving their entire account. So that's pretty cool. Like a restaurant not too far from where my father-in-law lives, and it's a historical landmark because it's a haunted house and they can't tear it down. Like people who own restaurants keep buying it and then they probably use it for about 2 years and then everybody just dips out of there. Like they, every time, like there was a really popular Mexican restaurant chain, to where they live. They ended up buying it, went there for about 2 years. And I mean, every day they were slam packed full and they just one day up and left and like took everything with them. Like they cleared the entire place out. It was like, we're not doing that anymore. And like, I even asked him, I was like, hey, cause I knew who the owner was. Like he still owned the other restaurants and I saw him in there. I don't know him personally, but I mean, I know who he is. And I actually talked to him from here, you know, time to time. So, and I asked him, I was like, so what happened with that historical house that you bought? And he was like, dude, like during the night shift, like right when we would close down, you could hear somebody running upstairs. He's like all the time. And you would see this lady in a dress. And I was like, that's kind of weird because I saw a lady in a closet that I thought was a bathroom. Like I saw the door open and a lady peek out and then shut the door. And I just thought maybe it was like some lady in the bathroom. And I asked my wife, I was like, hey, is that a bathroom? And she was like, no, that's a hall closet. And I was like, oh, well, some lady's in the closet. And she was like, oh, that's the whole. She didn't tell me before we went. She's like, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you. That's the whole reason I wanted to come eat here because it's haunted. And I was like, really? And she was like, yeah, go read the placard outside. And sure enough, we went and read the historical placard. And it's a haunted house of, you know, that neighborhood. And it's
validation.
Yeah. I was like, that's pretty cool, man. But people don't believe it. And it's fine, you know. But I mean, when it happens to you, it's pretty interesting. Like, I really enjoyed that. So
I really appreciate you coming on and sharing today, Jordan.
Absolutely. I mean, it was a pleasure, man. I had fun.